Amen. What a blessing it is to realize and remind ourselves in the midst of all that is going on in our world, not just in our county, our state, or our country, but all across the world in this pandemic, that God still reigns. And that's really why we designed this whole series as we move through the summer, realizing that we were in a difficult season, a hard season. And so we've been looking at some key ideas of really what it means for us as we journey in our faith to, as the title of the series says, keep on keeping on. And today we come to the idea that for some might seem counterintuitive, because it says, keep on keeping on, resting in the Lord. And when we come to Matthew chapter 11, I want to invite you to turn there. A lot of times we look at this very familiar passage and we completely miss the point. Or oftentimes I've heard it taught wrongly or inappropriately or not accurately to the text. And so today I want to bring you a message entitled, Keep On Resting in the Lord. I don't know if you are a runner, just casually, or maybe you walk just a little bit. I don't know if you like to run 5Ks or 10Ks. Maybe you don't like to run any Ks. Maybe you're a marathoner or a halfthoner. I don't know of many people in our church that are triathletes. They do the half triathlons, but there are also those full triathlons. And then there are what they call ultra marathons. And perhaps the hardest one in the world you have never heard about is in the hills of eastern Tennessee. They typically run it every year in June or early July. They didn't run it this year because of COVID-19. But this is called the Barkley Marathons, plural. And you run around in the hills of eastern Tennessee in this incredible national park there. And let me tell you just a little bit about this ultra marathon. It started all the way back in 1986. And so in all of those years, well over 30 years, only 15 people have ever completed the race. They will go multiple years with no one completing the race. This marathon is so hard when you consider the elevation changes that they put you through in these multiple marathons that are one after another. When you look and track the elevation changes throughout the ultra marathons, this is why most people don't complete it, it's as if they have climbed Mount Everest and descended again twice. The course and the race is not a typical course in a race. You have to qualify to be accepted to run in this race. As a matter of fact, you can go find a documentary that was written on this marathon, this ultra marathons, and the documentary title is The Race That Eats Its Young. How many of you would look forward to running in that race? When you apply to be accepted to have the privilege of running in the race, they send you an acceptance letter that is not an acceptance letter, it is a condolence letter. And all it says is, welcome, all that awaits you is failure and humiliation. Wouldn't you just be fired up about setting off on that journey? Now, let me tell you what else about this race is you never know what the course is. They change the course every year. You show up, they tell you, here is where you start, and you're going to be looking for these markers. There have been people that have run and gotten lost in this ultra marathon. I think they eventually found them, so don't be worried. Beyond that, a typical race, when you run it, the first person across the finish line is considered the winner. The second person ends up in second place. The third person ends up in third place, and on down the list, and you all get to complete the race. That's not the way this race is. See, you only have a certain amount of time to complete the race. If you do not complete the race, you lose. It's not like someone says, well, I didn't do so well this year, but I was third place. You either win or lose. And in 30-some-odd years, only 15 people have completed the course. When someone completes the course, they get angry. and they change the course to make it harder. And still people apply and start the race. You can read about it. It's called the Barclays Marathon, Eastern Tennessee. It's considered the toughest race in the world you've never heard of. You know, when we come to the subject we're looking at today, it's the idea of resting in the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus offers all of us an invitation to come to Him and to rest in Him. And you've heard the phrase, take His yoke because His load is light. And the context of those that Jesus was talking about, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had developed this incredibly difficult system of legalism that had 613 laws. They had gone to the Mosaic Law and the Old Testament law, and out of the Ten Commandments and out of the Mosaic Law, they had developed all of these other laws. It wasn't just the top 10 or even the top 20 or the top 25. They had 613 laws developed. Now, the only people who knew the laws or had memorized the laws were those who were the teachers of the laws or the Pharisees of the time. And let me tell you what, every time they were walking through a town or a village or along the way, they were constantly judging other people. Then what they would do is they would take a law that it seems like everybody had begun to fulfill and begin to abide by, and then they would change the law just like the Barclays changed the course. The whole point was, is they didn't want anybody to finish but them. And so in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is addressing the legalism of the Pharisees who had basically drawn up this course in such a way that they considered themselves as the only winners. And everybody else was a loser. And their point and purpose in life was to journey through and single out people and point out people and talk about you're a loser and you're a loser and you're a loser. In this backdrop, Jesus comes to the passage in Matthew chapter 11 and He says, come to Me. His clear distinction was, don't go to the legalism of the Pharisees because none of us measure up. See, the Pharisees had a point. And here was their point. None of us can earn our own salvation. How many of you realize that you're not perfect? Anybody in here that has not come to the realization that we're not perfect? You want to know why it's so hard for us to even accept God's love and God's grace? Because here's what I know about me. See if you know this about you. I know my history. I don't know about you. My parents used to say, hey, be careful who you hang out with because they'll cause you to do things wrong. Here's what I know. The one person that was always there when I did something wrong was me. I know my history. And guess what? There are times and days I journey through life and I know my heart. I know my heart, and when I'm real honest, I'm like, God, you know, what's in my heart right now doesn't please You and it doesn't honor You. And if it's not my history or my heart, it's some of the thoughts that go through my mind. That as much as I love God and bathe myself in prayer and God's Word, there are times that, boy, just thoughts go through my mind that I know don't please God. And if I live in such a way that I think based on my history, not just my history, but my future, what I do or what my heart senses or what I desire or even what my mind thinks, I realize if I base my salvation on what I do or what I've done, I have failed the course. I didn't come in third place. I didn't come in fourth place. I didn't finish. And so maybe you're here today and you are struggling with carrying on in your faith. Now there's an invitation in here to different people. The first person I want to encourage you with, whether you're presently here or whether you're online, the first invitation of this passage is to come to Christ for salvation. We can never think, if you are somehow in your mind still thinking that I'm going to be good enough, I'm going to go to church long enough, I'm going to serve long enough, I'm going to do some good things, I'm going to shape up my life to be good enough to go to heaven, I want you to know that is a burden and a yoke that neither you nor I can bear. The Apostle Paul says we've all fallen short. So the first invitation is for those who you've never come to Christ for salvation. Second invitation might be for those who are here or are viewing online that you have you came to Christ years ago. You understood that you are a complete sinner and salvation only comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you at one point fully understood the grace of God, but as you've grown in your faith, you have drifted, and there's a natural tendency for us to drift back towards a legalism. That I know I was saved by grace, but go look at the Galatians, and then they're trying to finish the course by works. And I want to encourage you, if that's where you are, I want to encourage you to move back into resting fully and completely in the grace of God. So there's that person that needs to come to salvation, that person who has experienced salvation, but has drifted back into legalism. And perhaps there's someone here today that you're in that space of you fully have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and you are completely walking in grace, then it is a warning and a challenge to you not to take on the yoke of legalism. Now, I want you to know, I've heard this passage taught a number of times where it's almost an invitation to inactivity. That people will say, I'm just going to encourage you to rest in the grace of God and do nothing the rest of your life. That is not what Jesus said. See, he uses the word, he says, listen, take my yoke, for it is light. What is the point and the purpose of a yoke? Well, most of us in here are not agrarians, but back in those days, they fully understood that a yoke was basically this wooden bar that they had crafted that you would put between two bulls, and they would use a yoke to basically plow a field. Think of the agrarian mindset, the farmer mindset, the farmer plowing the field, and that's the idea. That's the word yoke here. Now, what Jesus is going to say, and we're going to read it here in a second, is do not yoke yourself to the law. Why? He says, because if you yoke yourself and your salvation to the law and your salvation to works of the law, that is a yoke you cannot bear. But Jesus says, my yoke is light. See, for those who are trained, and I would not be one who is trained, but as I was studying and reading over the last couple of weeks about yokes, they have a number of different kinds of yokes. And not only do they have different kinds of yokes, they can actually bind a yoke to an animal differently. If you have an old, mature bull that is going to plow the field and you are trying to train up a younger bull to learn to yoke, they can actually yoke the yoke. I don't know if that's really a way that you would say it. They can yoke the yoke in such a way that the mature bull does all the pulling and all you're doing is training the young bull to walk along beside. They can also tie up a yoke where each bull pulls an equal amount of weight. And that would be two mature bulls that are in the midst of plowing a very difficult pasture. But a yoke is still a yoke. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for it is light. So what is he saying? There is still work for us to be done. Does that make sense? So if Jesus is putting a yoke on us, he says, but my burden is light. What is the difference? If I am yoked to legalism or works, I am constantly serving God and working God, hoping to earn His favor and to gain grace and gain forgiveness so that I can somehow plow enough field spiritually that I can be accepted into heaven. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, take my yoke, which is what? My grace. Jesus said, I died on the cross for all of your sins, past, present, and future. I was buried in a tomb that should have been your tomb. I was raised the third day to give you newness in life. And Jesus said, if you will simply accept what I did for you on the cross, my death, burial, and resurrection, you can accept by grace the forgiveness of God that came through me. And he goes, take my yoke. What is Jesus' yoke? He's doing and done the heavy lifting. Does that make sense? See, when it comes to our salvation, Jesus says, listen, I've done all the work. I've done all the work, and all you have to do is by grace join him in his work. So what's the difference? It's not an invitation to inactivity. It's an invitation to continue to work, but with a different perspective. I'm not looking to earn my salvation. I'm working with the joy knowing that I've already been accepted by God. I've completely been forgiven by God. It doesn't matter about my heart, my history, or what I think. I am tied and bound to Christ. Therefore, I don't walk around burdened with my history. I don't walk around burdened with the thoughts in my mind. I don't walk around burdened from time to time with what's in my heart. Now, that doesn't mean I don't confess it. But what it means is that I am walking side by side, yoked together with the one who has already paid the price. So let's look at this invitation to rest that Jesus gives us. And then I'm going to talk about where we're not going to find rest. And then I'm going to talk about the three imperatives in this passage that we all have to apply to our lives. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Let's pick it up. Here's what it says. Jesus says in verse 28, he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Then that was the first imperative, come. Now notice the second imperative, take my yoke. It's something we can freely receive. All right. Salvation is a gift to all. What do you do with a gift that has been given to you? You take it, you open it, you accept it, you utilize it. That's it. All we have to do is take it. I don't have to earn my salvation. Jesus is very clear here. He says, listen, take my yoke. Now, we're going to see what yoke it's replacing here in a second. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, the third imperative. So here it is, the three imperatives we're going to look at today. Come to him in salvation. Take his yoke, the yoke of God's grace, forgiveness, and love, but not moving into inactivity, but still activity, not for the purpose of gaining my salvation, but because of my salvation. Therefore, I can be refreshed and have joy and have grace and just have a spiritual excitement about my life. And then next, what is he says? And learn from me. See, as I journey through my life, we should always be learning more and more about Christ and his word and the faith that we have in our lives. That's called discipling. By the way, as a matter of fact, if you want to underline that word learn, it is the Greek word we get our English word disciple from. So what is Jesus saying? Come to me in salvation. Take my yoke. Don't take the world's yoke or some other yoke. And he goes, learn from me. That I want to constantly be growing in my faith and being active in my faith and becoming stronger and stronger in my faith. So now let's go back and continue. He says, come, first imperative, take, second imperative, learn from me, the third imperative. Why do we want to do all this? Why do we want to come, take, and learn? He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. There's that word. Keep on resting in the Lord. That word rest doesn't mean to fall asleep. Doesn't mean to snooze. It means to find relief, joy, and blessing. If you're in a place where you are burdened or overwhelmed, come to him. He'll give you relief. If you're in a place that, man, you're just downtrodden in heart, that's an Old Testament word, a biblical word. If you're just beaten down, come to Christ and he will give you joy. If you're in a place where it seems like everything in the world is a beating, come to him and he'll give you blessings. That's what he says. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart and you will find rest. Rest for what? Notice this word, for your souls. So first and foremost, this passage is a salvation passage. It is not an invitation to go to sleep spiritually. It is an invitation to come alive. What did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 2? He said, you and I were dead in our trespasses of sin and sin, but through faith, God has made us what? Alive. So he says, we're going to find rest and relief and joy and blessing to our very soul. Why? Because we know our future is certain. Now let's continue to read on. And he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now I want to remind you that we're always prone to drift back towards some version of legalism. Now, we can all step back and say, you know, I would never follow the Pharisees. I would never follow the teachers of the law. But let me ask you a question. As you've grown in your faith, have you developed a few personal rules of your own that you feel like the Spirit of God has convicted you about, and now you walk around judging others, although they're your rules? See, there are some personal convictions, my guess is, that I have that you don't have. And there are some, perhaps, some personal convictions that you have that I don't have. Now, what I don't want to do is drift back into legalism, take my personal convictions. Now, I'm not talking about biblical mandates. If I was talking about biblical imperatives, they apply to you and to me. I'm talking about personal convictions. If I begin to lay them on your shoulders, or I begin to burden you down with them, and you don't have that personal conviction that I do, then guess what? It becomes a weight. And that's what the Pharisees had done. They had sat around and begin to look each other in the eye, and they begin to develop one law and say, you know, out of that law, we can develop two more laws, and out of those two laws, we can develop four more laws, and out of those four more laws, we can develop eight laws, and we can hang them on the people's neck and watch them fail miserably. But Jesus says, hey, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, at no point should our faith and serving God and being active in our faith and serving in the church be a burden. It should always be a blessing. It should be a blessing for us to say, God, I can't wait to serve you, or go on this mission trip, or serve in this ministry in the church, or do this outreach for the church, or whatever it is. It's a blessing. Why? Because of the load that we bear, which is light, because Jesus has taken away all of our sins. So that's Jesus' invitation to rest. Where are we not going to find any rest? Let me give you a couple of thoughts. First of all, if we go back to the context of the passage, there's no rest in legalism. If you look in Matthew chapter 23, we'll put up on the screen, this is Jesus talking right here, same book, same gospel. He says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He's acknowledging where they sit, Moses and the laws, the law and legalism, who they are. He goes, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you to do, but do not do what they do. Why? For they do not practice what they preach. In other words, he says, they cannot even measure up to their own message. He says, be careful to do everything they tell you to do. In other words, there are some great guiding principles there, but you will never be able to fully fulfill the law. See, part of the reason God gave the Old Testament law to the children of Israel is to remind them that they were sinners, they were separated from God, that ultimately, even in the sacrifices of the Old Testament, was a reminder that there would come a day when the perfect sacrifice would be offered. Does that make sense? See, the whole point of the Old Testament law was to say, we serve a holy God and I am not holy. And so Jesus says, listen, be careful to do everything they say, but don't do what they do. Why? For they do not practice what they preach. Now look at the next verse. He says, they tie up heavy and cumbersome loads. Remember those 613 laws? And what do they do with those loads? And they put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Now notice the contradistinction that Jesus has given us there. He says, the legalists, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they are full well willing to bind up a load that you can't carry, that you can't carry, that you can't carry, and that you can't carry, and put it on your shoulder and not lift a finger to help. Now notice subtly what Jesus is saying. However, compared to them, when I died on the cross, I scooped the burden and the load of your sin up, and I bore it for you. What did Peter say, quoting from Isaiah the prophet, by his wounds we were healed? See, Jesus is saying you have these legalists, you have these Pharisees, you have these teachers of the law. They're all about making laws and making new laws and then throwing them on your shoulder, knowing you're going to fail, and they're not willing to help you one bit. As a matter of fact, he says they kind of enjoyed watching the people fail. But Jesus says, unlike them who's not willing to lift a finger, I am willing to go to the cross and die on the cross for your sins and mine. He says, therefore, take my yoke. Why? Because it's light. I've done the heavy lifting. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, I've done all the lifting for you. Child of God, I want you to hear me. Whether you're here presently or whether you're watching online, do you realize that Jesus has done all the lifting for your salvation? It's over. Folks, it is over. He took all of our sins, rolled them up, put them on his own shoulders. Man, I love this idea, is that while we were still sinners, Christ what? Died for us. He didn't say, listen, if you'll scoop up all of these burdens of yours, and if you'll lift them, and if you'll work so hard, and if you'll memorize some of the laws, and if you'll do this, and if you'll do that, then maybe your load will be light enough that Jesus will die for your sins. No, no, no. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now continue to read on. He says they won't even lift a finger for them. He says, because everything they do is for people to see. Let me tell you what, if you have a tendency, like we all do, and I want you to know we all have a tendency, and so the invitation for some here today, if you've drifted into legalism and you've begun to judge other baby believers or young believers by your personal convictions and not biblical mandates, then I want to invite you to move back to the grace of God, because we don't want to become modern-day Pharisees. My guess is, if we had a sign up out in the atrium or online, if we just said, hey, text the word Pharisee to 77978, most people wouldn't say, sign me up to be a Pharisee, right? But sometimes we become modern day Pharisees because we have a natural tendency to drift that way. And we want to force our personal convictions on other people as if they are biblical mandates. Now, I want you to know there are enough biblical mandates in here that I can't fulfill the ones I know. I don't need to have to fulfill yours. Now, you're not going to find rest for your soul in legalism. Why? Because even if you are a legalist, you know your history. And you know your heart. And you know your thoughts, right? Even if I come up with a set of my personal convictions that I feel like God has told me to say no to these things, here's what I also know, is that some days I wake up and want to break my own rules. Am I the only person in the room that from time to time will break a rule? Anybody ever gone on a diet? Say, here's my rule. No more ice cream until I eat ice cream the next time. Right? We know our hearts, we know our history, and we know our thoughts. So we are not going to find rest. If you are looking for rest, you're not going to find it in legalism, because you know your heart, you know your history, you know your thoughts. Second place you're not going to find it, you're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find rest in the world. What did Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse 27? We'll put it on the screen for you. Here's what it says. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. In other words, you want rest? Jesus says, I give it to you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. What is Jesus saying? In this world, you're going to have trouble. Anybody experienced a little trouble lately? Anybody experienced some difficulties lately? You're not going to find peace if you're constantly drifting to legalism. You're not going to find peace if you're looking for peace in the world, the stock market to stay up, or just stay still for a day. Or with your job, or even with your health, or sometimes with your relationships. Man, the world's going to bring us problems. Remember Matthew chapter 8? And as I think about in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus had joined his disciples in a boat, and he had fallen asleep, and a storm came up. How many of you remember that story? And the disciples woke Jesus up and said, we're about to die. Man, that's the way life is that we're just journeying through, and it says a storm came up. It just showed up. It just showed up, didn't know it was coming. And as I think about that, man, the storm, there are times that circumstances show up in our life that, man, they cause us to be troubled. the problems, the waves that show up. And the only answer is to make sure Jesus is in your boat. Come. Take His yoke, for it is light. So I'm not going to find any rest in the world. I'm not going to find any rest in legalism. I'm also not going to find any rest oftentimes in my mind. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 52, verse 8? He says, my thoughts trouble me, and I'm distraught. Countless studies as I read right now, the more we move into social isolation and social distancing, the more our minds trouble us. How many of you know that? See, God created us as relational beings. And if you read and notice the most recent data, that incidences of anxiety and depression and loneliness are skyrocketing right now. Why? Because we weren't built to be alone. There's something that God created called relationships that also helps create from time to time the art of distraction with us. If you leave me just in a room to constantly think what's going through my mind, there's no telling where my mind's going to go. And oftentimes it's going to go to my past failures and the reason why I should be better off and what I could have done better to be better prepared for this. And guess what? That's what our minds do. And so incidences of anxiety and worry and depression and suicidal thoughts are skyrocketing. And guess what the corollary of that is? That's why alcohol sales have gone way up and other addictive behaviors have begun to creep back in. Why? Because we are just trying to calm the pain, to reduce the pain a little. Why? Because we're looking for true rest in the wrong places. Child of God, you're not going to find it in some system of legalism. You're only going to find it in the complete, utter grace of God. You're not going to find it by looking to the world. Man, when is the president, or when is the Congress, or when is somebody, or the mayor, or the governor, when are they going to tell us what to do, right? Or just right now, right? When are they going to tell us the same thing to do in two consecutive days, right? See, I don't look to the world to give me rest. Nor do I look in here. Man, let me tell you what, I can stir my own pot. Anybody ever stirred your own pot? I don't know where that phrase came from, but it's like the phrase that we oftentimes use in Texas is to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. How many of you have heard that phrase? Have you ever tried that? Note to self, it is a physical impossibility to grab your own bootstraps and lift yourself off the ground. If you didn't know that, just go home and try it. You know what Jesus is saying? Just as it is impossible, even for us in Texas, and we're awesome, to take our own bootstraps and lift ourselves off the ground, it is just as impossible for you and I to earn our way to heaven. Because why? Eventually, we're going to run out of steam. And that's why we need spiritual rest. So, how do we lighten our load? How do we get rest? First of all, Jesus says there is an invitation. Here's the invitation: come to Christ. What does Jesus say? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now I want you to see those two words, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. A lot of times when we see those, or we try to divide those two words, weary and burdened, and I won't spend a lot of time, but if you go into the Greek, grammatically, this is a cause and effect phrase. It's not two different things, that some people are weary and some people are burdened. He says, come to me, that's an imperative. You need to come, freely come to Him, all those who are weary and burdened. Grammatically in the Greek, you don't have to know this to get to heaven, but this is a cause and effect. The cause is those who are burdened, the second word. The effect is those who are weary. So he's talking about the same person. If you are burdened with your own history, your own sin, your own struggle, your own hurt, your own heartache, guess what? You're going to be weary. You're going to run out of steam. He says, if you are burdened burdened and weary, he says, come to me. That's the invitation. Come to me and I will give you rest. You're not going to find rest in legalism or even your personalized legalism. You're not going to find rest in the world. You're not going to find rest even oftentimes in your mind. Where we find rest is in Jesus. And so if you haven't ever come to Jesus, then this is your day. Here's the second imperative. Notice what he says. Not only does he give us an invitation to come to Christ, he gives us an instruction that when I come to him, I'm going to give up control of my own life. I'm going to give up control of my own destiny to him. Look at what he says in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, if you notice this, notice what he says. He says, here's a second, take my yoke. Here's where a lot of people miss this. Jesus doesn't say, take all yokes off. That's not in there. I hear that preached and taught from time to time. We don't want to be yoked to anything. Jesus says, yes, you do. You just want to make sure you are yoked to the right thing, folks. We are all yoked to something. I'm going to say that again. We are all yoked to something. Jesus doesn't say, de-yoke yourself from everything. There's no such thing. Jesus says, take that yoke off and yoke yourself to him. And then notice he gives a third imperative, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And there you're going to find rest for your key word, soul. Don't yoke yourself to circumstances in life. You're going to find no rest for your soul. Don't yoke yourself to legalism in life. You'll find no rest for your soul. Don't yoke yourself to having a positive mindset or thinking the right things. You will have no rest for your soul. But if you will unyoke yourself from those things and yoke yourself to Christ, you will find rest for your soul. So first imperative, come. Second imperative, take it. It's a free offer. Salvation, being yoked to Christ, it's a free offer. And then we learn the rest of our life. That word disciple, I grow and grow and grow. There never comes a place where I don't grow in my faith and grow in my walk with Christ. Then as we add to that just the third idea, here's the incentive. All right, you've had an invitation, come to him. You've had an instruction. De-yoke yourself from the wrong things. Yoke yourself to the only thing that is really right, which is Jesus Christ. Learn from him. Now, notice here's the incentive. How many of you like incentives? I don't know about you, but I like incentives. I use a credit card that has incentives, right? I love incentives. I think incentives are good. Here's Jesus' incentive. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke. See, we don't de-yoke ourselves from everything. We yoke ourselves to Christ. We de-yoke ourselves from things that destroy us. For you, it might be an addiction. It might be legalism. It might be what you think. It might be a hurt or a heartache, a relationship failure, and you're just yoked to it. Jesus says, hey, de-yoke yourself from all that stuff. Yoke yourself to me. We're going to close the message today for those who are on the line, those here with a song. This good old song says, come as you are. Just come just as you are. And I want to invite our team to come out as they prepare. And as you're there online, whatever you're struggling with, whatever burden, whatever hurt, whatever heartache it is, I just pray as they sing over you that you would just sing along, that you would pray, and that you would just take everything that you struggle with, you would cast it at Christ's feet. If you're here today, the group, if you are bound and yoked to the wrong thing, our altar is going to be open. But first of all, remember, it starts with, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, if you have tried to earn your way to salvation, I want you to know you'll never make it by trying to do it on your own. But if you will yoke yourself to the grace of God and the work of Christ, come just as you are. Maybe there's someone that you've been a believer for a long time, but right now you happen to be incredibly burdened. whatever it is, I want to invite you during this song, just maybe in your heart, lay it at the altar. Maybe physically you want to come and place it at the altar. You come. Whatever it is, you come. Maybe there's someone else here that you're just broken. And you just need God to move in your life. You come. Take His yoke. For it is light. It will give your soul rest. So let us just sing this over you. You do what you need to do. Have a little place of prayer there at your altar, or come to the altar, whatever it is, you come.
You've been, come broken hearted, let rescue begin, and come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame, and all who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're so lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stream. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. And all who are to
Our prayer today for you is that whatever's burdening your heart, that you would hear Jesus' invitation. Come. Come as you are. But then take his yoke of grace, because it's light and it's the only thing that will give rest to your souls. And then learn with the rest of us as we journey in our faith to never drift back towards legalism, but move towards his grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.